Let me pass back, by the way. And when I finish the notes on this relationship topic, we will definitely pass it out. Okay. But I did scan all of your... can you take yours and pass? We took a little questionnaire, spiritual questionnaire, to see how well you were doing. So I scanned that into my computer. You can guys... You can look and... review how we're doing. I'm going to give you an outline of what we're going to talk about for the next, maybe the whole quarter. We'll call this the relationship quarter, okay? By the time we're done, we're going to be all ready to get married, okay? And we will be having mock weddings at the end, all right? And to take you through the process, we will have, you know, role playing here, all right, how to ask a girl out and things like that. Every aspect that you're curious about, is you're going to know. By the time you're done, you're going to be a soldier ready to find that wife. Okay? All right. Let's get a yell. Oh, you know, put your hand in. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Now, this outline might change as time goes on. And I think when we go to the gelato place, you can open, you can ask me questions. Anything. Don't be afraid to ask. You could ask anything you want. Okay? With some, you know, not bad things, okay? Just like, you know, honest, good, wholesome things. And but if it's, you know, if you're desperate to know what the answer is, definitely you can ask. So today will be some simple introductory remarks, okay? And then two, we're gonna look at this, the goals of this seminar, okay? Okay, this is, you're not learning how to be a better girlfriend or better guy friend. That's not it. Okay, you're not learning how to be more attractive or be a magnet for men or whatever. That's not it. Okay, the goal of this relationship, because I realized when we talk about relationships, everyone wants to learn how to make it successful. You know, I want the best possible relationship kind of attitude. We're not learning how to get the end result. We want to learn how to do it right, okay, the right way. Okay, Jimmy and Samantha, they're just doing well. Okay, and then how did that happen? It's not gonna last that long. Okay, they're gonna run into troubles, these things like that. We need to teach them how to get it absolutely right. This guy is like putting an Ethernet cable here and wireless. Oh, that's awesome.
What is that?
It's a
that's so cool. Yeah.
What is it called? Call it travel router.
No, I mean the server. Alright, so
you need a pen.
And now we'll look at some presuppositions. Okay? Yes. Alright, we'll look at some presuppositions. You need to understand, okay, our capacity. Indicating how wicked we can become. Okay? And usually people say things like, oh, I don't understand myself. And, you know, they're always searching about, why do I feel this great attraction for this one person? Okay, and they're trying to figure themselves out. You know, but pastor, I'm in love with her, right? Well, she's not even a believer. She doesn't even know Christ. She doesn't even know how to spell Jesus Christ. But I love her so much. This must be from God because it's so intense. All right, how many guys ever felt that way? Liar! Hey, raise it! He felt it? No? No? You never ever felt like this? Come on. I can list off 20 right now, okay? Right from my 4th grade, 5th grade, 6th grade, 7th grade. We had a New Year's party at my home. And, I share, you, one of these days, you'll all, at least by God's sovereignty, ride with me in the car for 2 hours. And you will hear my love life, okay? It's my BC days before Christ, and it's really, really innocent and cute. Okay, I mean, it's just so funny.
I've never heard it.
Can I have your comment? Wasn't it fun?
No, it was fun, but it wasn't innocent.
Okay. But yeah, so these little girls in our church, they were so excited because they ran to my room, looked for my yearbook, and looked up every girl's name that I was after, okay, so... But in the worldly sense, their respect for me grew. Like, wow, the pastor was a magnet. You know? He wasn't just like a nerd. Okay? So I have a different respect. In a worldly sense, that's not good though. But I don't mind. Anyways. So, Okay, so then we'll look at proper view of male and female relationships. Okay, and by the way, the Bible obviously has a lot to say about male and female relationships, but not in terms of like the strict dating thing. Now, the flaw to this is that we have to first, well, not the flaw, the necessity is we have to know the scripture first. Okay, so how many of you guys ever read through the Bible once already? Raise your hand. Okay, twice. Three times. Not many. Meaning, you to really understand what's going on here, it's not so much think of dating and then look through for all the dating principles. It's all the principles are given for life. Well, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1. I remember the day, the night that I was memorizing this. Okay, I was on my way to Las Vegas. Okay, for my friend's graduation at UNLV. Drove there. Okay, just to show you how godly I was listening to MacArthur for 4 hours. Okay, right. I wasn't thinking about, you know, visiting a casino or anything like that. Okay, and then I got there, saw the graduation, and then we slept at his house, and I brought him back, and I was memorizing this verse the whole day. And that night, I remember I was closing my eyes, and I just kind of went through a shock. I said, Greg, I know what this means now. It means that every single issue of life can be answered from the scripture. And that's what this says. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him. Where do you get this true knowledge of him? From where? The Bible. And Peter calls that divine power. So, knowledge of God, okay, of him, it comes from the scripture, okay, and he calls it divine power, okay, and he's saying that that's sufficient, okay, for life and godliness, okay, for life and godliness. Being sanctified, becoming more holier toward the Lord, being reverent, that's what godliness means. And life, what's life? Everything. Included with what? Going after your spouse. Okay? Going after the other significant person. Now the strange thing here is that, and this is part of the introductory remark, is everyone talks about relationship. Whether you're 4 years old, okay, who, you know, innocently kisses the other girl, okay, when you're a little baby, okay, and to like age, like whatever, okay, whether you're Christian, Buddhist, Islam, anything, everyone talks about what? You know, you have something to say. It seems like the people who know least about scripture always have most to talk about when it comes to relationships, right? How many guys know what I'm saying? When you can talk about like 3 hours about relationships. Two? Five? Higher, lower, right? I can, you know, I've talked for 5 hours one time. Thomas, okay, we're normal. Anyone else? Okay, no. Honest and godly, right? Okay, so, okay, you guys all understand, right? Amen? Come on, stop being, we all talk about relationships, but thing is that when it comes to relationships, people just leave the scripture and feel like we gotta deal with it some other way. Okay, that is what we're trying to break through this seminar, okay? And after that, we'll look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Look at the purpose of marriage. Okay. We have to look at that, and then we look at this is. Pre-confrontation. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, this is before you actually. Well, confrontation means you confront. Not, okay, you talk to that person that you like. Okay, so what happens? Okay, and then we're going to look at the confrontation. Okay, the actual point. Okay, meaning again, I'm not here to give you like this one way of doing things. I'm just going to give you principles of just being a godly man or woman in that situation. And then, guess what? You need to be exhausted in a post-confrontation.
Huh? It's 7 and 8.
What's wrong? Oh, okay. 5, 6, 7, and 8. Okay.
That's so, 9. But it's not even 9.
Okay, so 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. Post confrontation. Oh, I thought you guys were laughing at the title. All right.
Nope.
Okay. Now, this outline might change because there's so much to cover here. I want to start with, where's my book? So a friend,
I don't want to mention the name, but someone gave me this book, where's my dating book? You want to see it?
I think I left it in the bathroom. In the other building around the corner. Okay, anyways.
Why'd you take it to the bathroom?
Well, that's, anyways. It was just leisure reading, so. Someone gave me this book, right? It's called Dateable. Okay, Dateable. And, Are You Dateable? It's by a Christian author. And it is a bad, it's trash. It is like, please, so what I did was I was studying today. Megan was finished. I gave her the book. I said, can you just go through the book and underline every bad thing in there? And she was going to literally highlight every single page. Okay? But I said, just give me the best ones, the best worst ones. Okay? And it basically it's like an insult to your intelligence. Right? It tells girls, do you really want to be attracted to guys? Then be secretive. Be mysterious, right? Sorry, yeah, she read it, I didn't, And it's just like, okay, I'm gonna find it, okay? After this, I'm gonna just head down there and look for it. But it is just like, where is it? One of you guys stole it. I know you guys stole it. Okay?
Okay?
I don't know, I think it's in my trunk. Okay, so, but yeah, I was gonna read to you some of the stuff just to show you that you probably think like that. That's the part that I like about this book. Okay, he basically looks at all these people, how they act together, basically lists, oh yeah, that's how we do things. Rather than giving the scriptures as principle, he basically looks at everyone, and his whole deal is this, dating randomly is absolutely okay. No matter who they are, okay, even if they're not godly, as long as you are dateable, okay, so he's basically trying to prep you to be this most attractive, a most like likable person in a dating situation. So bad. There's bad stuff in there, like illicit explanations of immoral things. Not that he's condoning it, but there are certain passages where he'll say things like this. Oh yeah, it's okay to go as far as long as the girl allows you. That is heresy. I really want to meet this guy and just give him something to remember for the rest of his life. This is not right. And by the way, I did a paper on this for my counseling class. Okay, this is for my counseling class in seminary on what's the right method of dating. Dating, courtship, this and this, that. My conclusion to the professor was, there is nothing out there. There's no one way. It's just get rid of everything. Get rid of dating, courtship. Have you guys read Joshua's book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye? But you really didn't. Okay, raise your hand. You never read it? Boy Meets Girl, haven't read it? It's okay. Be a man. Okay, use your hand and You read the first one? Okay, don't worry about it. I read it too, but it was not for that purpose of figuring things out. It's not a good book. Okay, my professor, his daughter was reading that book like that. This was like the Bible. Like, and she was dating someone, and my professor, he's getting so frustrated. Like, until the boy does it this way and act like this toward me, oh, we're not going to be husband and wives. And where did you get that? Joshua Harris. Okay? But here's an interesting insight. That's how hungry people are for understanding how to get this done. And you know what? God does not want us to go through unnecessary stress. Amen? The scripture gives peace, joy. Okay? Turn with me to Romans chapter 14. Those of you who couldn't come to our retreat, we went through the whole chapter in 4 sessions. Okay? It's online. Definitely you want to listen to it. But look at verse 17. Okay? Now the context is a little bit different. No, there's nothing about dating here. But it's talking about life. He's telling the Roman church, why are you guys fighting about what food you're eating? In the kingdom of God, it's not about what food you can eat or what thing you can't drink, this and that. And he lays it out here in a universal principle, saying spiritual life are these three things. Verse 17, let's read that together on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. How many guys have felt the stress, the tension, the uncertainty, the sadness, depression, jealousy, envy? Okay? With regards to the opposite gender. Raise your hand. Yeah. Isn't it? So you never liked anybody? But you know what I'm saying, right? It's just... it's just not good. And you know what? People seem to like go through this cycle. It's not good. And then they put themselves through it again. Like, why do you want to go through this unnecessary burden? Okay? Because they're doing it according to the world. Well, if you do it right, dude, you'd be a Jimmy, man. Okay? I mean, what can you ask for more in life than walking around randomly for 3 hours and giggling with the person you love? That is heaven! You know? They're just aimless, just walking, and it's a good thing. Okay? I remember, yeah, I will share this. He called me and said, Pastor, I need to talk to you. And he usually calls me like at 12:30 every time. Do you have time to talk? Yeah. What's it about? It's about a girl. He goes, how'd you know? Oh, God told me before he got. No, he's good. Okay, so, and he told me, right? And I said, you know what, Jimmy, you like her? Is she Christian? Da, 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 da. And I said, Jimmy, you need to tell her. He goes, come on, you know? So I asked him this, do you just enjoy being in ignorant bliss? I mean, do you like to be in blissful ignorance? And he looked at me like this. Oh, we met again. Talk about it more. Was I falling asleep during that time? But I asked, do you like to be in blissful ignorance? Like, it's all in your head. Oh, she's so pretty. I like her. No, da, da, da. And he's just in stress every day. Every time he sees her, he's like this. I said, look. And then we talked yesterday. I said, now the ignorance is gone. And it's blissful, isn't it? He goes, yeah. You know? And so the scripture makes things peaceful. It relieves. It gives you clarity, insight. You actually understand what to do. But it's going to take 8 sessions. Okay? We'll try to speed it up. But let me talk about the goal again. The goal of learning how to do this again is not to be, you know, this super like I'm going to get her kind of guy. Is to adorn the doctrine of God. That's our goal. Okay? The goal of learning this, okay?
Is to adorn the doctrine of God, and specifically with regards to the opposite gender or relationships. Okay?
Everyone wants to know, well, how can I do this to get that girl? How can I do this to get that guy? That's not our concern right now, because God will bring that person. There's no such thing as I've lost my love. Okay, I've lost somebody. If you believe in the sovereignty of God, you haven't lost anybody. You just canceled out the one that was not meant for you. Amen? Okay, that's the conclusion of all this. I guess we're done now, right? Okay? But our mindset must be this. If you want to know the answer to all of this in terms of how to do a relationship, it simply is one word. Learn to be a Christian. Okay? Learn to be a Christian. Okay, why is it that when you start liking someone, you gotta act differently? Okay, you gotta start acting like a different kind of person with a different mentality and start presupposing what this girl thinks that, you know, if I just call her or. And then that book, it says this. How do you know if a guy's interested? And they gave you this little chart. It's stupid. But we all believe it to a certain extent. That's the funny thing, right? The first thing is, so you talk to a girl, okay? You talk to a guy, did you talk to him for 10 minutes? He doesn't like you, not a chance. Okay, 15 minutes, possibility. 30 minutes, definitely. 45 minutes, oh, you got it, baby, right? And seriously, that's what that author teaches people reading this book. It's so sad. That is so... Okay? I mean, this is what America's learning from Christian books now. A young girl trying to ask, oh, does this guy like me? Well, go to this chart, you know? Go to this holy tablet. 10 things here, you know? Okay? The goal is not to find someone. The goal is learning to be a Christian in an opposite gender relationship. Okay? And that's what adorning the doctrine of God means. Turn with me to Titus 2. Okay? Titus chapter 2. And this will be like our formal introduction to our campus ministry as well, why we call ourselves Titus. But Titus, is a great book to read, because after all that is said and done, the emphasis in this letter is not to teach doctrine. Doctrine is presupposed, meaning Titus knows doctrine, and his church is being taught doctrine. But Paul's emphasis is this: now that you know, live it out. But not in any way, in a specific way, that will actually adorn. What does the word adorn mean? Okay. What does the word adorn mean? Pauline?
Decorate.
Okay. What do you mean by that? Specific. Can't say it.
Just write it.
Huh? Decorate what? Yeah. No, I was thinking about more of like what girls do in the morning. Okay? Right? You have many faces there. Okay? And you choose which one you want to look like. Parties, you put on lashes and things like that. You're making yourself attractive. That's what it means. Adorning. Okay? You adorn. But he says, you know what? Adorn this. Okay? Make it beautiful. And how do you guys know that you know couples, or you yourself have been in a relationship where you literally marred God's word? Okay? You literally dishonored him. And you hurt that other person. Okay? And that's what we want to stop. We are here to act as a Christian in an opposite gender relationship so that we can adorn and give glory and honor to God and edification to that person. But if you look specifically here, notice verse 10. He's talking to slaves. He says, urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith so that they will adorn the doctrine of God. Let me just list it. Can you guys list that for me again? He tells the slave to do what? Be submissive. What else? Well-pleasing. What else? Not argumentative. What else?
Not pilfering.
Okay. What else?
Showing all good faith.
Okay. To a slave, the way he's supposed to adorn the doctrine of God is doing this particularly to his master. And back then, his master was also maybe even a Christian. He thought, you know, hey, you're my brother in Christ. Why do I have to serve you? He doesn't say, if you are a slave, you need to act like one. And when you act like this, you are adorning the doctrine of God. Okay? But what about to older men? Look at verse chapter 2, verse 1. It says, verse 2, older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, love, and perseverance. To adorn the doctrine of God, this is what older men are required to do. What about women? Verse 3, older women are likewise to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, not enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. They are to be teachers of other younger women. That's how you adorn the doctrine of God. And verse 5, for younger women to be sensible, pure. This is referring to all of y'all, okay? All you younger girls here, you have to be sensible, pure, workers at home after you get married, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that, notice what it says right here, so that the word of God will not be what? Dishonored. Two options. One, you honor the word of God by adorning it, by making it beautiful, or you mar it and dishonor it. And particularly in the field of relationships with men and women, man, Christians who are supposed to be light and salt on this world are literally destroying one another. Okay? They might be like a great praise leader or Bible study leader, but then when they're in a relationship, everything falls apart, and to them it's no big deal, but this is what everyone goes through kind of attitude. You know? Hypocrisy. Guys, look, if in our church, if a Bible study leader was dating someone and it didn't go well, okay, and we look into it, if his character is wrong, okay, technically if he is biblical, it should head toward marriage and should be done. There's only rare cases where people split up. If a guy who's leading a Bible study group and his relationship is not as good, we'll kick him off the team. You don't sit there and say, this is normal part of relationship to go through this. You know what I'm saying? Like, so many Christians hypocritically live in the realm of relationship, not adorning the doctrine of God, but dishonoring it. How can you keep teaching God's word when you're dishonoring God's word through the way you treat an opposite gender or how you relate to them? Okay? And so, our daily decisions in life, our interaction with people, or our portrayal of our personality, that too, either adorns, make attractive the doctrines that we hold to, or we dishonor the word of God. Learning scripture is one thing, but learning how to live it out is another, and we call that wisdom. Okay? You say, where does it say in scripture how to date? It doesn't. But it teaches you wisdom. The word wisdom means, in the Hebrew, skillful living. No? It's weird. People, when they go to jobs, they do well, right? When they get into a relationship, it falls apart. It doesn't make sense, right? They're really skillful at mathematics or running a business or running an organization, whatever. But when it comes to a man and a woman relationship, it's just what? You guys know what I'm talking about? Like, people just don't know how to apply wisdom in that context. That book had some statistics. It says, oh man, it's so sad. Like, the way it starts off, it says, if you're 17, 18, 19, 20, no wait, 16, 17, 18, 19, and you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, he said, let me just tell you one thing, it's not gonna work. And he basically says, you should be ready to break up. Paul, Michelle, it's not going to work. I mean, can you imagine if you read that book, oh, it's not going to work. What should we do?
He says to enjoy the little things in life while you can.
Yeah. Just enjoy the fact that she likes you, but it's not going to work. And then he gives the statistics. Like, he says something like, we did a survey of like 500 people who graduated from high school, got married, only like 22 actually stayed together, and out of the 22... you know, like three survives or something. Yeah. Okay? You can get through this. It's really weird. The world runs with money, but it falls apart in a relationship category. It's strange. It's because everyone, okay, talks about it apart from the scriptures. Turn with me to Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. Again, to get to this part, I know everyone's waiting for this one right now. Okay? Oh, come on, Patrick. Come on, Patrick. Speed it up, okay? I want to know, okay? Let's just put it this way. Don't even think about dating for the next 10 weeks, okay? Third quarter, we'll do like a trial run, okay? No, I'm just kidding, okay? Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, it says, Ezra had set his heart to do what? To study the law of the Lord and to practice it. Practicing it. Okay? Living it out. Okay? If those of you who are having a hard time finding Ezra, it's after Hezekiah. Okay, Hezekiah chapter 4. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 3. Proverbs is right before Hezekiah. Anybody find Hezekiah yet? There's no such book as Hezekiah. Okay, so just kidding. Proverbs 1:3. Let's read that together, okay? Let's read from verse 3 all the way to verse 7. Well, we'll start with verse 2. Ready? Proverbs chapter 1, 2 to 7. 1, 2, 3. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is my conclusion. God knows us more than we know ourselves. Amen? Right? Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all else. Who can understand it? So definitely I can't understand my own heart. But God does. He wrote the scriptures to tell us who we are. So if I want to figure out what makes that person tick or that person tick, where should I go? Talk to them? To where? The scriptures. Okay? Pastors or people who study scripture diligently have a way of understanding people like no other. If you want to understand how to understand people in yourself, you go to the scriptures. And look at verse 3. It says to receive instruction in wise what? Wise behavior. Okay. Adorning the doctrine of God is basically summarized, if you want to do it this way, as behavior. Godly behavior. Right? When you're with someone, you have to do what? Behave. You have to behave. I'm not saying behave like be good. You have to behave somehow. You have to know how to appropriate yourself. And so the book, the scriptures teach us not any kind of behavior. You know, but without the scriptures, it will be what? A foolish behavior.
Let's take another survey. This all I'm you know speaking from experience too. Okay, how many guys? You know, ever acted really stupid in front of the person that you like and you went home just regretting it and you remember for like 10 years? Like, why did I do that? Oh, why did I say that? Oh, you just want to go back and, you know, redo everything in life. I have like 20. Okay, so there's a lot of like foolish behavior that I, in my past, man, if only I knew the scriptures when I was 7, dude, I'd be made by them, okay? But when I was young and I was just led by my impulses, wow, you know, God made that. Okay, how do I get that? You know, I remember I tell a story like, I'll tell it. But I drew this last week. Okay, we're gonna end with this and turn to Proverbs 22:15 as you take a look. Proverbs 22:15.
Can you read that for me? 1, 2, 3.
Ready?
1, 2, 3. Yes. So all of you will receive a complimentary spanking here. Okay. To drive out the point. Okay. Complimentary. Okay.
You first, Chris.
But that's okay. All right. Writing with chalk takes a long time. You should write with driver markers. Read that again. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Okay, just think about that picture, bound up. It's like a string, just, you know, bound it up. When a child is born, foolishness is just rampant. Okay? When little kids act foolishly, I can just, you know, all of that story that I tell, okay, what's up, Dave? Hi, this is David John. Okay. All of the stories that I tell to the kids, it's just basically a spewing out of my foolishness. Okay, as a child, it's just utter, extreme, exponential, okay, to the exponential power of foolishness. It's just living out foolishness. The parents, when they raise a kid, if they don't teach their child particularly how to behave toward the opposite gender, they're not going to learn. It's really weird. People have this wrong idea that when the child just grows big, he'll suddenly be what? Mature? That's not true, right? Have you guys ever seen people who are like 25, 30 acting really, really stupid? Okay, she knows somebody. Okay? How many of you guys ever seen 45-year-olds act really dumb? Your high school teachers. Man! They're like, what's wrong with you, dude? Like you have no life, and they just act really, utterly foolish because they were not taught. Foolishness is still bound in their heart. What do they need? They need a spanking, right? They need a spanking. Again, read that again. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. There was another one. It says, if you love your child, discipline him. He will not die. That's what he says. Okay? He will not die. You have to. Okay? Now, again, we're not going to do our complimentary spanking at the end of this course so that you'll be, you know, wise or anything. But the reason I'm mentioning this verse is to help you understand the presupposition. Okay? The presupposition, understand your capacity. You are fools. Everyone say it. I am a
fool.
Say it again. I am a
fool.
And we say we're stupid. I am
stupid.
Yeah. And then we'll go Korean. I am
bubble.
Okay. We have to start there. Because when the book of Proverbs was written, if you notice, if you go back to chapter 1, King Solomon is telling his child, hey, you need to first of all acknowledge you're so stupid, you need instruction. Look what he's saying here. Verse 4, to give prudence to the what?
Naive.
So as a child is listening to this instruction, King Solomon is, you know, speaking with this authority and this dignity, this respect, and he's saying, this will give those who are naive wisdom. And that means those who are naive, okay, should be able to confess, yes, that's me. You're speaking to me. And by the way, the word fool in the book of Proverbs, it's not someone who just does things that are really stupid. It's someone, okay, it's directly related to someone who is arrogant. Unteachable. Okay, proud. Self-governed and self-will. I have guys, man, they look teachable. You know, you teach them and they have 10 more questions to ask of you. And teacher gets fooled. You're like, oh, what a good student. That's not true. When you're given instruction from God's word, a truly wise, a discerning student will simply obey. You guys with me on that? A fool is one who's arrogant, meaning you learn something, but you go, oh, but I don't think that's all that right. There's another way to do this. That's not here, you know, in colleges, professors exalt the students who can kind of like, you know, refute back and come up with new ideas, right? You know, they exalt the human mind and say, you need to be creative. You need to explore your mind and come up with new things and just dramatic things. That's just foolishness exalted. And true humility, true teachability is you receive instruction and you do it. And then you ask for more instruction. Notice what it says in verse 5. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. It doesn't say a wise man will hear and increase with more questions. And I've met students who, you know, after I told them, look, don't do that, I give them reasons, and they go, oh, I have more questions. And initially it was exciting, like, wow, he's asking so many questions. But after 3 hours, I realized he hasn't done anything that I've taught him. 2 years later, he hasn't done anything I've taught him from the scriptures. Right, this is UCLA, hello, please step out. Okay. So now we have, we still outnumber you, okay, so, anyways.
We beat you guys in basketball this past week.
Yeah, Russell Westbrook absolutely faced.
Hey, guys, UCLA students, UCLA students, let's love our enemy. You guys are great.
Yeah, you guys are doing pretty
good. God bless y'all. Okay. So, look over here. And the reason I put this here is this. People say, I'm a Christian. I believe in the scripture, but they never read it. They never obey it. They're driven by what? Experience. Right? Again, as I told you, from age 4 to age whatever, everyone, every single person has something to say about what? Yeah, relationship. You ask them about the doctrines of God, they're silent. You ask them about the inerrancy of scripture, they don't know where, what in the world, even how to spell the word inerrancy. When you ask them, hey, when you tell them, hey, I like this person, what should I do? They just spew out utter nonsense. And you have the ability to suck it all in and think, wow, there's some truth to that. Okay? This is why it's so important. That's why I'm going to take the whole quarter to talk about this, because everyone's into this. We're not going to wait until you're going to stand before the pulpit getting ready to talk about relationships, right? And we're going to teach this to our church kids who are 6th grade, 5th grade, you know, 4th grade, who are all into, like, you know, being boy crazy, girl crazy, so they can think properly. Man, if I can just go back in time and I appear to myself, I am you, okay? And talk to myself, I say, stop it! You know, just discipline him with the rod. Right? Oh, man. It would have been so much different. I remember that as I was sharing this, you know, my brother, I thought he was gay one time. It's right here. Okay? I was like, oh, dude, Lord. And so I prayed. Like, I was like, hey, because he never talked about girls. Me? Every sentence had to have the, you know, G-I-R-L in there somewhere, okay? Or we call it chicks or whatever. And so I asked him one time, he was in high school, I said, hey, Isaac, do you like anybody? He goes, no. My fear is true. And then I said, not even anyone. I mean, don't you think anyone's pretty at least? I was literally going to say, just like anybody. Show a picture, you know, like. And he said, huh, there's no godly woman in my school. You know? And I was like, I remember thinking, I did not even think of this when I was his age. You know? That's commendable. Because I taught him.
He's listening, you know, he's under, you know, listening. I'm like, wow, someone's actually applying what I'm teaching. Amen. And so, we want to destroy this, because what this will cause is stupidity and foolishness, which will bring chaos and failure, ultimately dishonoring the Lord. So with regards specifically to relationship, you start with God's Word, which will teach you wisdom on wise behavior, okay, which will bring ultimately peace and joy, okay. And if Lord willing, grant you that wife or that husband, and you will be adorning the doctrine of God. I think if anything else, guys, as we conclude this first session, is churches are in great need of good couples. Dating couples and married couples. I don't know about you, but it seems to me, because I went to a lot of churches as being a pastor, there's always this hush-hush when someone's dating, right? And everyone's fearing, oh, it might not work out. It's like expected. It's so sad that it's rare that you meet any young couple who do what is right, and they will exalt God and adorn the doctrine of God. Because I believe when you're finally connected with somebody in a close relationship, your Christianity is tested. Right? You guys know what I'm saying?
There you'll find out if you're a hypocrite. Okay? Genuinely professing as a person submissive to Christ or not. That's why I don't mind when young kids tell me they like each other and they want to tell the other person, you know, and there's different ways of doing this. When you're in high school, you definitely need your parents' permission. College is a little bit looser, but definitely you want to get your parents involved, but you want to let the whole church know. Everyone should be involved. It's not like, oh, it's just us two hush-hush, and then, you know, we might break up, and we don't want anyone to know. That's stupid, that's foolish, and that's sinful. If you're a genuine believer serving Christ, you have absolutely nothing to hide. Amen? You should be able to expose your life, even if you're dating someone. And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong here. Okay? But today it's all like, you know, MySpace accounts, and then you're dating, and then you block all your pastors, and you know, and you're only, you know, I don't have MySpace account. I tell students don't do it, just cancel it. But I've been learning what happens on there. Like, if this friend is sitting here and he doesn't want people to see this particular picture about her and this guy that no one knows about, block, 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 block. But then to all the other ungodly friends, they show. And I was like, what are you doing? Okay. Again, there should be nothing to hide if you have right behavior in terms of relationship. And we're going to learn not how to get the person. That's not the goal of the seminar. It's just how to be a godly person, a Christian, when it comes to the opposite gender. So, that'll be for the next few weeks. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this is a big, big subject. Something more more important than we realize, because everyone is out to get some sort of be in some sort of relationship. There's always some person in our heart towards somebody or whatever, and sad to say, and this is reality, that Lord, that many people who have such great desires for the opposite gender know so little about what it means to be a Christian. And here we are, just bypassing the steps, yielding to our lust rather than submitting to you as a Christian. Father, Lord, we pray earnestly that you'll teach us the next few weeks as we look in depth into Scripture, preparing our hearts how to think properly, that we would grow in our wisdom when it comes to dealing with the opposite gender. Father, this is not a separated segment in our life. This is so ingrained into everything. Help us, Father, that we would all do what is right. Father, we thank you for your word and the clarity. We thank you, Father, for all the resources that you would provide. We thank you that one day that there is that person fit for us, Lord, and help us to patiently wait until you bring that person and us together. Father, we praise you. We bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's see the final hymn. That's it. Okay. All right. Well, praise God. Gelato.